Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today with us is...
Mike Failauer.
Gavin.
Here you go.
Eric.
So, guys, how was your Thanksgiving? Did anybody do anything fun? Or crazy? Or interesting? Or worth talking about at all?
No. I played a lot of Battlefront.
Yeah, that too.
Showed the family members and friends who have not been blessed with Battlefront how great Battlefront is, and it's pretty great.
Yeah?
I second that.
It's all right.
I'm addicted.
I only ate a lot of pie.
Finally found a game.
Nope,
that I
no like. Battlefront for you?
Nope, a lot of pie.
Play
you
a lot of Black it, Ops though, 3.
Mm-mm. Really?
Yes.
Not Rainbow?
Rainbow wasn't out during Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're talking about Josh. During Thanksgiving. You're talking about during Thanksgiving. I just admit recently.
I played it during Thanksgiving.
While everyone else was eating and engaging in fellowship.
Yeah, we played Cranium at my
Ooh, I love that game.
It's a good game.
That's
dude, that
fun.
Game's
What's
super
wrong
fun.
With you, Kiko?
I hate really Cranium.
It was fun. We had fun. Good times. It's like 10 people, so it was good stuff.
Mad Cat.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Combines everybody's favorite games.
Yeah. Right. And worst.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody can complain about
Jack
it.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
I play bards.
All right. I guess we'll get on with the questions then. So, talking about gifts. Gifts you like. Gifts you got. Gifts you gave. The first question. Is the best holiday gift you ever received as a kid? Go.
That would be when I was like 4 or 5, must have been. One of those little, you see them even now. I'm sure it's the same mold in China. The little sword with a little shield with a little helmet, the night pack or whatever. My folks got me that, and based on my affinity for Dungeons and Dragons, and it probably set me on the path. You know, turned me into the person I am today. That was awesome. Just running around and hitting my brother with a plastic sword. Pretty great.
I think, I don't remember getting my first Game Boy because I didn't have an original. I had a Game Boy Color, which was like little teal Game Boy Color. But I remember very distinctively getting the like bluish purple Game Boy SP, like the first one that folded and had the backlight. Mm-hmm. And that was like revolutionary. And I remember that like, I remember being so pumped because I didn't know I was getting it, right? Like
Kiko is grimacing right now.
But it's not like it was my first one. I just, the one that I really remember.
No, I'm not thinking about that.
Caring about. But I got my little Game Boy SP and I was like so fucking pumped on it. And I remember like replaying all my Pokemon games and like whatever new stuff came out. I don't remember, but like that was the gift that I didn't think I was going to get that I was so excited about.
He's crying.
So, ice hockey on the NES, because it was a distraction from my parents' impending divorce.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
All right. What's yours, Eric?
What terrible childhood memory would you like to relive?
It's supposed to be best, not worst.
It was the best at the time.
Oh.
Yeah. Anything that distracted me from that was pretty great.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense, Josh. Great question.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for bringing that up.
The most memorable for me by far was, I think I was in first grade, and I got picked up from baseball, and we had like one of the first Toyota 4Runners, and I remember getting into it, and in the back was a giant box for the NES. And like we had the duck hunt and the gun and like everything, went home, set that up. And like that was, I was so obsessed with it. I think it was first grade. And I remember like being in class and just being fixed on the clock on the wall. And just watching, just go faster, you know? And so for me, I think that's pretty clearly like head and shoulders above any other gift I can remember. Like that was just huge. Yeah, otherwise, there's nothing else. There's nothing else that's really significant.
Everything else I've hated.
Everything else sucked. But that was pretty awesome. I was pretty hooked.
That's how I feel right now about Battlefront.
Yeah.
You can't wait to go home.
Minutes ticking away on this podcast.
I was just about to say, like, oh my God, I remember that when you said that, that evoked such a strong memory of just how awful school was. And being a kid and not being able to go anywhere you want whenever you want.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah,
thank just God trapped. I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't have money either.
Right.
Being an adult's great.
All right, best gift you received as an adult.
Inigo Montoya's sword from Darlin.
Nice.
Yep.
Is it an actual like movie prop or is it a replica?
Well, it's not the one from the movie, but it's like the one-to-one replica.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at it and being like, wow, this is, I can't, like, it blew me away, you know. And there's history on that. Like, that movie was, and our, the fact that we could both quote it was one of the reasons why, like, wow, this person's worth some time and investment in. But when I got it, I picked it up, like, wow, this is so amazing. And it's a, probably a 32-inch blade, the beautiful gold filigree and all that stuff and the gems. But I noticed, like, wow, this grip is huge. You know, it's just the proportions were off. And I was like, I didn't want to say anything, right? And I'm like, all right, you know, my fighter mind is going over this thing. But then it struck me, like, of course, six-fingered man. Of course it's bigger than normal. And it just made everything better when I realized that attention to detail was in there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
I can't think of any Christmas ones as an adult. All the good ones I think of are birthday gifts. Does that still count?
I guess. It's a gift.
Just reskin it. No one will know.
Yeah. Levin got me a mint, like, inbox never opened, Toys R Us exclusive Pikachu N64, like, 3 years ago. And, like, that was ridiculous. Like, it was the Pokemon, Hey You Pikachu, like, the little headset and stuff. Custom one. It's, like, the blue one with the little Pikachu logo on it and the controller and everything, and like that was just so awesome because I didn't even know that you could still buy them in box and everything. And other than that, it sounds kind of like a random endorsement for them, but like I got a Birchbox subscription for a year last year from Amy and Levin, and that is like the best gift because every month I get a box and I don't know what's in it, and it's like every month I get cool shit, and I don't know. That's a great gift because it just, you continue to get gifts every single month for a year.
Keeps on giving.
Yeah, it truly is.
So are you about to lose it then? Is it going?
No, like, it'll go to April.
Okay.
April,
okay.
Yeah. What horrible distraction.
Last year, my wife, as not even one of the primary gifts, she got me these little gear ties that are used for cord organization. And not even joking, I use them every day. And they are the best thing that ever happened to me.
Does it distract you from your impending divorce?
Thankfully, no. But that sounds really dumb, but they're something that I use every day.
Functional gifts are something worth noting.
Are the best thing.
So what do you mean by gear ties?
They're little metal, almost twisty ties, but they're a little bit more...
those like rubberized ones?
Yeah, the rubberized ones. And you can coil them to...
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
To bundle cords.
Yeah.
And we all have 100 million charging cables and various other uses for these. And they are the best gift that I've ever been given, Josh.
Amazing.
This is adult?
Yes. You already had your kid one.
So I think this counts. Like, so first, the thing is I'm there was a transition that happened in high school where I stopped giving gifts. And so it's not the best gift, but I can say what caused that transition. It was two parts. One was I started working freshman year of high school and I started making money and getting myself the things that I wanted. And so when Christmas came and I got a bunch of shit, I started getting mad about it, and I'm like, and so an example of shit is like getting a card from my great aunt where she misspelled my name, and I'm just like, and I think there was like a $10 check in it, and so at that point I'm like, don't bother. Like, I think I communicated to my mom. I was like, this person's never been really in my life. They don't even know how to spell my name. tell her next year. You know what? Don't worry about it. And then there was, I think a couple years later, there was another example that was kind of like that, where my mom got me a little personal, like something you would take to like a tailgate party, like a little barbecue thing, like a portable barbecue. She got me that. This is when I was in college, I think, living in an apartment. And so I opened that, and then like 3 days later, I get from my aunt, her sister, a gift that was... another one of those, but this one was shaped like a football. And I never used either of them. I threw the football one in straight into the trash because I knew I did not need two of them. And I'm like, Mom, this is your sister. Can't the two of you at least like... And that was another example of where it was like, don't tell her next year not to bother.
When Vizel and I got married, we got 4 George Foreman grills with no gift receipt.
You know, yeah, you know. That's like, come on. But and so I've pretty effectively communicated to my family to not give me gifts, and instead we've transitioned to like I've been doing charity donations for a while. And so, like, before I joined Penny Arcade, the first one was, and the one I generally do is Child's Play. And it's cool because, so, like, this isn't, like, this is just what I was doing before I joined the company, but I thought it was cool because my family's somewhat distributed. And so I would pick children's hospitals near them and get things, like, for my aunt has 2 kids. And so I would get toys that I thought that her kids would like. So there was kind of a connection.
And make sure that those kids did not receive those toys.
Yeah. their parents can take care of them. But my uncle has 3 sons, and so it was, you know, I'd get toys that seemed like they would like at a hospital near them. And so for me, it's been many years where I transitioned from getting physical things for people to charity donations. And I don't know if it's had some success because my sister, mom, and grandma they all do that now. So like I got an email last week from my grandma that's like, I'll be donating to a charity this year. Let me know, you know. So yeah, for me, it started pretty early where I just decided I wasn't going to do that anymore. So the only gift I actually give, the only physical I gift is for our Secret Santa party. Like I do with my there's the charity thing, and then I also do like events. So my sister and my mom, people who live physically near me, I take them out for an evening, we do dinner and we go do something. So like go to the Moth or go see something, that you know, go see a show or whatever. Like so that's what I do now. So it's not that I don't like giving things, but that's the type of thing I give.
I have a question for you, Faye, as a father. Mm-hmm. Do you have that thing where you're like hoping people don't buy it? Stuff for your kid to some extent because you just like don't want more crap.
Absolutely.
Like you want to be the arbiter of their crap and
yes.
Not like
yes,
I can see that.
Particularly instruments.
Yeah, drum sets.
Anything that requires batteries.
That was the best for Mike.
What?
That's the only thing people bought his kids.
Oh really?
Instruments?
Was loud, horrible, noise making drum sets.
Instruments are the best. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
that's
got
the
plenty.
Only thing I ever
But my parents bought me instruments. Like, I didn't need other people to buy them.
You can never have
too
many instruments.
I mean, instrument is... I mean, that's giving it a kindness.
Yeah, these are noisemakers.
Right, there you go. And it is just more stuff. Like, ask any parent. Like, your kid has enough stuff, right? And it just means that whatever you had bought them previously and was their favorite toy is now worthless, you know, as the new thing on the block becomes the obsession and... Yeah, it's no good. What you said, Eric, is interesting, though, because my sister got in touch with me 2 days ago and said, hey, you know, is it cool if we don't exchange gifts? And she's like, we're fine financially. Don't worry about us. But I think we've got enough stuff and it's just one less thing to worry about. And I wonder if that's sort of propagating the no gift giving thing.
I like it. I think it's good.
It was weird, but I was at the same time, I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
We've done something not exactly similar, but... sort of along the same lines. The last 3 years, Vizel just bakes and just sends.
Don't say just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you undersell what it is that she does.
I ate 6
of
those
cookies yesterday.
She's like a bake romancer.
So we just send cookies to every family.
That's better than a normal
I have not received that shipment, Kiko.
Family.
No, now I'm on
He has a family now. Now he gets cookies.
They... Vizel provides plenty of baked goods for the office, I would say.
I wouldn't. There is never enough, Kiko.
Taylor and I created gift restrictions this year because it's a tradition in my family. We've always given a gift on Christmas Eve. Like you open one the night before.
Yeah, that's fun.
So Taylor and I made an agreement this year that we could do one gift the night before and one gift on Christmas Day. And then like stockings are off limits. Like you can do whatever you want for stockings, but like they're small, so you can't like buy a bunch of expensive stuff. So just to sort of like not feel like you have to outdo each other or outdo like previous years and stuff. Like if 1 year you're like, oh, I bought you like 5 things, and the next year it's like 1. It's like, no, let's make restrictions. This is how much we're allowed to get.
I could see that.
Yeah. because it's like, you know, you need, it's like better to save the money and
right,
not buy yourself things if you want things. You don't have to have other people buy them.
Yeah, better to buy deliberately than just to fill a quota or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make an obligation. That makes sense.
Yeah, like in my friend's circle, we have a rule that it's like, if you don't feel like you have an idea for someone, if you don't feel like you have like that thing that you really want to get them, don't get them anything.
Right.
Like, nobody has any hard feelings about it, but don't just
do a
get
token,
them
whatever.
Something.
Right.
You know, just because you feel like you're supposed to. Like, if you have like a really good gift idea for like one of your friends, then by all means.
Yeah. Triple A or nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Sort of on that subject. Best gift you've given to someone and the reaction to it?
Well, someone mentioned the gift exchange. I guess you did, Eric. I'm pretty proud still of the one I got for Robert a few years ago when I had him on Secret Santa, which was a package of pocket squares in just every color of the rainbow. Because he was really into suits then, even mm-hmm. more than now. And it's always a hassle to be like, ah. You know, you don't have that right exact shade. Like, you've got a blue pocket square, but it's not the right blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made sure he had the right whatever color it may be. I think he was moved by it. But ThinkGeek has actually made it pretty easy to get the perfect thing for all your weird and strange edge case friends.
Mm-hmm.
The one that they delivered on for me was my brother-in-law's a Marine, and I got him the tactical barbecue apron thing with like all the moly straps and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, got the patches where you can put on your emblems and all that stuff. And he just went bananas.
That's
over it.
Sweet.
He's like, this is the coolest thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. God bless ThinkGeek.
I think the best I've done is a few years ago, it was before Amy and I had ever gotten to travel together. And we wanted to do like a best friend trip, like just kind of go out. And so we both like Ana DeFranco, and she was playing in Vancouver. And I bought these tickets to see her in August, and the concert was in February. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to get a hotel for Vancouver for the weekend. And I found a cool place and set that all up. And then I gave that to her on Christmas. So this was one that I had like baking for so long and had to like not tell her, because I'd get like super excited, especially because she was like, hey, did you see the like Ani's putting on a concert? So I'm like, shut up. How do I tell you not to do this? And so then that was really cool because we got to I like things that like are experiences you get to have mm-hmm. with people. So then we got to go up there and have just a weekend where we hung out and shopped and explored Vancouver because neither of us had ever been there before. And so mm-hmm. that was really fun. And she was super pumped about it. Like, she was really touched because she was like, you know, you shouldn't have done something that's extravagant, but like it wasn't very expensive because it's not expensive to stay there if you book that far in advance yeah. and everything. But that one was a really good one because it got to like spend time with someone and not just give them something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still thinking.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, as I've kind of described for a while now, I've been very consistent with my gifts. It's kind of a set thing. And so like the question is like the best gift. So it's kind of looking for a response that stands above the rest. And I'm trying to think. So again, I'll answer it differently. One of the things I do that I do every holiday season for the people that are like, I've got a pretty small family. And so those who I'm really close with, my mom and sister in particular, what I do every holiday is I like hand draw a card. And it's the only time of the year where I draw. Like, I don't draw all the time. But like, you know, there's this whole process of kind of first brainstorming, thinking what I'm going to do on the card. And then I start to like kind of sketch it out in a little notepad, and I work through, you know, iterations. And it's cool because I've got this notepad that covers just years of these ideas. And so it is like, I for random reasons was looking at it just a week or two ago, and it's just kind of fun to be like, you know, no, that was pretty ugly, but you know, it's a thought that counts, right? But you know, where it's like ambitious, where I tried to do like a city street where the like the cross or this the street signs, the names of the streets were like Merry and Christmas, and as, you know, like the result is not at all like what it looked like in my head, but yeah, but that's something that I do every year, and so it doesn't scale super well, you know. I wouldn't do that for like 20 people. That it would take so much time, but I do.
Wait,
it
you
for,
draw each one individually?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So like I do this for my mom and my sister and a, you know, girlfriend if I've got one at the time. It's kind of like the small subset of people. All
is same design for each one or different?
No, it's usually different. There was a stretch of years where kind of what I liked, and maybe I'll do it again this year, is I liked looking back over the year at the things we'd done together. So like there was a year where my mom, sister, and I went to Spain, right? And so then I ended up kind of trying to capture things from Spain, visual, you know, elements of Spain, and then place like three stick figures, you know, my mom, sister, and I in them. But, you know, with like a, with some sort of feature that distinguishes us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's kind of what I do for every holiday.
That's cool.
So if you ever want to see, you know, Gavin and Kiko, you want to see some of my amazing artistic chops, you know.
See, but
we
so
can
that,
put it on the Instagram.
That's, I think that's really cool because, like, I bet your mom would love if you gave her that sketchbook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, and like, she's kept every one of these
like
cards.
Like an endgame gift.
You gotta wait till, like, when you fill that thing up, then it's like the ultimate the gift is like, hey, mom, here's like my.
That's true. Yeah.
I just love that you have a specific sketchbook for that purpose and no other.
Yep. Yep.
That's great.
It's cool.
Like every year, dust it off, you know, pull it down from the shelf.
Very cool.
Yep.
I love that.
I think I have one, but I can't talk about it because it's not Christmas yet. I have one.
Just tell Vizel like, not to listen to the podcast.
Christmas? Is that what you're talking about? Like it's
yes.
coming?
Yeah. No, I think I have the best gift I've ever given someone, but I can't talk about it. Because spoilers. My wife really likes birds, and she grew up with a cockatiel. And this was just a one-off. I didn't expect it to have this kind of impact, but there was a pretty large, like, chibi cockatiel from a Japanese, obviously, like, stuffed animal kind of thing. And she has it on her bureau to this day and is delighted by it every night when before we go to bed because it's just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And it's I did not know it would have that impact. And that was certainly not the most expensive thing that I've ever bought her. But I don't think that that counts.
No. It's all right. The last penultimate question.
Okay. Second.
It's a complicated question. Okay. If you could receive, let's say you have a Secret Santa.
I do.
Mystery Secret Santa. You don't know who. Anybody in the world.
Isn't that what a Secret Santa is?
Well, no.
No,
we
no.
We have a
they,
Secret Santa.
Are
we
Santa.
Know... We know it's our group of Penny Arcade people. This is anybody in the world. It could be Donald Trump. Your Secret Santa.
That sounds horrible.
He got
Anyways,
the intolerance.
Yeah. I got you.
You have to give this person one topic, one overall idea of something you like for them to get you something. Could be any price range. It doesn't matter.
Ooh.
The point is it's anything from that topic you will like.
Genre?
Genre, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Armor and weaponry.
I can't think of anything that
this
would be
is
bad.
A real easy question, Josh.
Yeah, this is a good
it's
one.
Too
yeah.
broad.
It's
maybe
too
it's not.
Broad.
It's
as broad as you want it to be.
I love clothes, and I love sneakers.
But you could get shitty clothes.
Well, I love...
That's not the question.
I love...
It is. It could be
any genre.
Any armor.
No, no,
any
no. Well, more
the point is you need to be able to
more,
like anything
more specifically,
because they could get you anything in that genre.
More specifically... Probably give me anything from Nike. Give me anything from Johnny Cupcakes. Like, there's specific brands that I absolutely love.
Okay.
Any tabletop board game. Even if it sucks, it'll be a learning experience.
Yeah.
Mall Madness.
And components.
You get to learn.
Mall Madness.
Dream Phone.
Why it's not good.
I would think, I mean, I love WoW. So World of Warcraft stuff would be cool. I think you'd do all right with anything there. And then also, if it's a person that I could actually hang out with, I would like eating at their favorite restaurant, I think would be fun. It'd be fun to like get that to learn about them and to have spend time with them and to try some new restaurant. I love food. So like, to me, that's the kind of experience thing I think would be cool.
Interesting.
The genre of Taiwanese dumplings specifically.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else anybody wants to talk about before we sign off?
Merry Christmas.
How much I love Battlefront.
Okay.
Battlefront's great.
Happy holidays. About Battlefront if you want.
Play Rainbow Six. Please. So they keep making more of these types of weird games.
The game's hard.
Is that your Christmas wish?
It's like, it's Chrome Hounds. It's that
Oh,
level.
Nice. Whoa. I know that you loved that.
That's saying a lot.
It's a completely weird... subgenre thing that has a horrible like you have to fight with this to get it to work because you can't just play with your friends whenever
you want. Such a pain in the ass.
Yes. So that's why it's very similar to Chrome Hounds, because Chrome Hounds we fought tooth and nail just to connect to each other, just so we could play the game.
Why
the game
is that
so
one of
good,
the
though.
Things that you like about the game?
That's not what we like
oh,
about
okay.
it, but it's
worth
how
it,
it's similar. It's
oh, okay,
worth it. To go through that
Are you saying it's hard to form a party with your friends?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Due to technical
really
difficulties that are not.
Well, and just UI decisions. Like if you back out of the menu, it destroys your party.
Yeah, it fucks everything up.
No, sometimes it does that.
Yeah.
What? That makes it worse.
Exactly my point.
Yeah, it would sometimes just kick me off of their specific server, but not off of online. I had to reset the whole thing.
If you have a 5-person squad.
It's fucking retarded.
This sounds horrible.
It's
bad. I play
if
with
you
my
have
friends
a
5-person
squad.
It's like it just at the party.
If you have a 5-person squad.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to matchmake, it searches for players. To matchmake you with.
And
it takes a couple minutes to find the other people in your squad
so
you've already chosen.
It doesn't first understand that the number
that
of open
happening.
Slots is zero, which means you don't need that
sometimes
step to be performed.
It'll find three of your friends and someone else doesn't get to play. Who knows why that
you're
happens?
Saying you'll have a group of 5 friends and some will get removed?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
That's
it's completely random
I don't need
whenever
that
you
happen.
Press the button.
How come you're not playing this, Eric? I thought you liked FPSs.
I want to. I played 10 minutes. I just need time. Oh.
The
need
best
time.
Part is that Rainbow Six is not a shooter.
No. It's
very
different.
Tactical.
It's
very
yeah, I watched one of your videos this morning where you're like sitting there in a defensive spot and you just punch
really?
A hole in the wall.
Probably not
yeah.
for me.
And then two guys pass it and you kill them. It's like you've just created your own little, you know.
Destructible, yeah. It's great. The other night I saw an external sniper, you know, in a different structure across from the main structure do good work. The coordination involved with that, where there was a spotter inside. And
no, it is a puzzle game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a randomly generated puzzle every time you play it. And it involves shooting people.
Yes.
Yeah, I suspect I will get killed by holes in the wall like that so many times. I don't know what it would take to get my mind, which is played so much like
MOHA. It
will
take you a couple weeks.
One thing that I haven't seen develop is the verticality and shooting through the floor.
Oh, yeah.
People seem a little hesitant to really
explore
that.
It's there.
It is there.
It's happened to me several times.
It's not part of the standard.
No.
When you see it, it's rare. When you see it, it's rare, at least so far.
It is completely different than anything that's out there right now.
Yeah.
And I want more people to play it so they keep making it.
Yeah.
Well, Rainbow Six is a pretty big franchise, right?
Yes, but this is not Vegas.
Yeah,
this
is
not
really different
Rainbow
one.
Six.
How
this
similar
is
this to what they showed with that hostage situation and stuff like that back like
it's exactly
a
the
years
same.
Ago? Okay, okay.
The single player.
There's no
single
player.
Yeah, the single player is
the single player is just
practice.
Randomly
it's
generated.
Like,
it's tutorials.
Yeah,
it's weird tutorials that are ridiculously hard.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Really hard.
All right.
It teaches you the value of teammates.
It's
it is hard because
really
I just thought maybe I was terrible.
I know, so did I. I was panicking. I was playing, I'm like, holy fuck, I really suck. Oh my god, I can't play this game. Did I just lose all of my first person shooter
not,
skills?
If you
Jesus
it's not
Christ.
A shooter. It is all about positioning where you are. That's how you win.
Yeah.
And that's it's really
I think
hard.
This is for me.
No, it's not. There's no jump pack.
Really
yeah,
hard
just,
for people
I just
to
jump
relearn
pack,
that.
CA-87.
Yeah, very.
You can't just run around shooting people because you don't. Hmm. You can't win that.
No.
Way.
I played the very first mission or whatever it's called, and it's basically there's this building that you're coming. You're outside the building. You cross the street and you go up in the building and there's in total like 9 I think enemies spread throughout that you need to kill, and.
Just you.
I put it on normal difficulty, which I don't. Is that the lowest?
That's the lowest.
Yeah,
okay,
lowest.
So normal difficulty. I killed the first 2 guys and then died, and that was that's all. And that was my first time playing on the Xbox One. That was my first time in general. But like, so I knew I know I need to practice. But I thought with normal difficulty, I'd at least kind of roll through.
Do you know how to lean?
Yeah, I've been working on that. Pushing the joystick down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been trying to do that. It's fun though. It is fun, like throwing that little camera thing out and rolling that all around and marking everybody. That was pretty sweet. I thought that was fun. I'll play more.
All right,
I'll join you hopefully.
If you guys have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.